Quick story. Did you know that the early American parking garages weren't called garages, but motor motels? And that in the early days of the invention, parking garages were nothing more than single-layer buildings unrecognizable to the public. Sometimes they even used horse stables. Yes, the early drivers parked their horse-powered vehicles next to those of actual horses. There were over 23 million cars on the road by 1929, and America's busiest cities began to panic on where to put them. That's when the parking garage or parking ramps became a linchpin for every hotel or shopping mall in the United States. From the multi-layer valet driving services to the automated elevators lifting your car to the sky and placing it in a neatly fit row, to the most impressive style from Baltimore, with the spiral of cars going down and another spiral of cars going up, dubbed the double helix. Yes, we knew a parking ramp as a double helix before it was discovered in our DNA. It can be argued that the urban eyesore that is the parking ramp is one of the most unappreciated inventions of necessity in the industrial age. The slab of brick and concrete, these lines and layers were sparked out of a need for us to be still. And we are all here, right now, to reclaim it for that very purpose. Here on the fourth floor, we are reimagining this space as a place of rest and new perspective. So come on, take your mind out of overdrive, pick a spot, let's say 418. Perfect. Put yourself in park. Breathe. There you go. Welcome to the parking space.
Trace your eyes slowly along the horizon to your right and keep going slowly, slowly, until you've traced a 360-degree perimeter. Take your time. Whoa, did you see those birds that just flew above us with that dazzling swoop? Wow. And there's an airplane over there. Feeling all this space around you, try taking a few steps backwards. Is this feeling of walking backwards scary or exhilarating? Keep going. Backwards, backwards, backwards. There you go, backwards. Can you direct your steps to walking between the two arrows? Sense the wind around you and notice if it creates an impulse in your body to move one direction or to the other. Pause. Find space 424 and walk to it. Peer over the edge. Look over the edge. Look over the edge. What do you see? What's moving? What is still? Can you see your house from here? How far away is your house? How far away is tomorrow? How far away is yesterday? How far away are you from right now?
When I was a child, I remember lying in bed one night, staring at the ceiling, petrified. I was 6 years old and entered a new moment of self-awareness. I learned I could breathe. You see, that day in science class, I learned what the lungs were, the way they filled and expanded in cohesion with the lift of the diaphragm. I was determined to make sure I was the best breather and kept an eye on my body to make sure I was doing it properly. I stared down at my belly, watching it rise all the way to the top, and pushing my breath out until it passed well beyond my ribs. I did this the whole day, until bedtime, where I reached a dilemma. If I go to sleep, I thought, how will I breathe? We are all like this in a way. As we become older, we become obsessed with control. It's in our makeup as Americans, as Iowans. It's an effect of humanist thought that puts us in the center of the world that doesn't seem to exist unless we're having a constant moment of doing or effort. In truth, my body never needed me to breathe. In the same way the sun never needed my permission to shine. Or the river below you doesn't need your permission to flow. It just does because it is. So When I prompt you to breathe, in essence, I'm asking you to return to the simple, to the awareness of just being who you are, to relinquish trying or doing. Just be. Try this for a moment. See what happens. Close your eyes and breathe. Notice any tensions you might have in your shoulders or your lower half. Release your glutes. Make sure there is a bounce in your knees. Listen for the cars driving by or people talking. Perhaps you can even feel the flow of the river as it hits the rocks below. Just be.
Walk with me up and around the bend towards space 481. As you walk, look up to the balconies of the hotel. This hotel is new, but what was here before this place? And what was here before that place? And the place before that place? Was here before pavement and roads, and before that? What was here before the dirt paths? And before? And before? And before? And before? When the earth was younger. Walk with me towards space 481.
This is spot 480. We are all familiar with the word ego. It entered into the American lexicon right around the time of Freud, and it has been quoted everywhere from classic literature to rap songs. But in the world of mindfulness, the ego is more than just blind narcissism, but an issue of identity, an existential crisis of self. Ego could be fear, or guilt, or victimization. What our ego fears most is what most humans fear, and that's death. Your ego is a living, breathing thing. It is your false sense of self, one that defines you by what you have, or who you know, or what has happened to you. Look at the Golden Capital right in front of you. Notice the flag. Look at whether it's drifting, blowing in the wind, or still by the air's idleness. If this flag was full of ego, it would question itself if it wasn't in full flare and flow. It would feel less than in stillness. We humans do that. Notice how we respond when we are not busy, if we are not on the go, how we question our self-worth. But regardless of whether this flag is rested in the arms of a soldier's widow, or if it is draped over the shoulders of an Olympian, it is still a flag. And you are still you. Regardless of your accolades or possessions, you. Take a moment. Breathe. And understand that you are perfect, just the way you are.
Thanks for joining me here at 502. You know, I came up here to get some fresh air and to be alone and to just see the sky. And honestly, I came up here to dance because, you know, no one's here. But I can still feel like I'm part of the world. But nobody cares if I'm dancing, so I put my headphones in and, you know, just let myself loose. Would you care to dance with me? It'll be really easy, I promise. Take a deep breath and feel your feet on the ground and just sway. Side to side, step side, back, step side, step front, right side, back, left side, front, step, back.
Desecho de amargura, yo me quise vengar. Mis manos se crispaban, mi pecho las contuvo. Su boca que reía, yo no pude más.
You're doing so well. Yeah, go for it. Freestyle. You look great. It's so nice up here.
Y a la luna por quererla tanto, por confiar en ella. Hoy ayer mi huella solo llanto y mi dolor doliente y abatido mi vieja herida sangra. Bebamos otro trago que yo quiero olvidar. Pero estas penas hondas de amor y desengaño, como las hierbas malas, son duras de arrancar. Del fondo de mi copa, su imagen me obsesiona. Es una condena, su risa siempre igual. Coqueta y despiadada, su boca me encadena. Se burla hasta la muerte, la ingrata en el cristal. Pues su amor me urdía toda mi fortuna, corta mi alegría a los carpos y a la luna, por quererla tanto, por confiar en ella. Thank you.
Spot 515. Rusty bolts on a blue railing. Cigarette butts. An exit sign that has been crumpled and folded. You can hardly read that it says exit. Chips of paint gathered in corners. The dried surface, cracking surface of a sign that reads compact only. Looks a little like a desert landscape. Bits of the concrete wall that have worn off to expose some darker rocks. And what looks like rust, rusty deposits in the concrete.
Bits of concrete wall.
Telephone poles and wires. Let's walk past 516, past 517, and over to 519, and then turn to the right towards the arrows, going right and left. Yellow concrete with a bite taken out of the side slab. I keep walking, and my eyes follow up the big blue light post all the way up. Four circular lamps, like a good luck charm. Straight lines and curved. A faraway painting of a bright red flower.
A faraway painting of a bright red flower.
As I walk around the light post,
I notice a sticker
on
the
side. The western side that has
the number 4 on it.
And the paint of that sticker is chipping off. And there's a very rusty rectangle above it.
Above it.
And it makes me think about the weather this place endures. Days of sun. And rain and snow.
Rain. And snow.
Sunset after sunset. It's almost five today. And the sun is down.
What time of day is it for you? Look at you. Made your way all the way to the top. This is Space 530. A therapist told me once, there's a difference between transparency and vulnerability. A transparent person is like a water hose on maximum, ready to spew out all of their secrets, their confessions, and their shortcomings, but with no repercussions. A person who is vulnerable is like the mouth of a river, both ready to give and to receive. Look down at those two arrows below you. They point in two directions. They live in a flow of exchange, of sensitivity, of accountability. I want to ask you, when was the last time you allowed yourself to receive? Was it a gift? Was it love? Perhaps a shared moment? When was the last time you allowed yourself to be moved by another person? Or allowed yourself to be inspired by the mundane? I want you to reach out and touch the concrete edge in front of you. Really grab it. Squeeze it. Receive from it. What does it have to offer? Is it knowledge? Is it a warning? Is it history? Now, just breathe. Receive.